In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When do you find that you like to sing the most? In church, of course, right? We sing loudly in church. I was at pastor's conference a couple weeks ago, which I always enjoy a lot because partly just being in the worship services where you've got 70 or 80 pastors, it's wonderful. But we all kind of have different places where we sing. I don't know how, you know, is it really true that people sing in the shower? I don't know. Maybe some of you do. I see a lot of people singing in the car. I think a lot of us are prone to that. You know, if you ever go to Bloomington Normal at a stoplight, you might see people singing in their car. But we sing when we're happy. Maybe you sing when you're at work sometimes. Sing with family and friends. Well, this morning I'm going to give you kind of an odd time to sing. I know it sounds weird, but hopefully you'll just bear with me and get to the end with me. But like you think about singing when you're angry. The two don't seem to go together, right? When we're angry is not usually a time we think about singing. But in our scripture readings this morning, it's very interesting. We have these two things, anger and singing. They're very prominent. And so that's what we're going to talk about. First of all, we're going to talk about anger. Who's angry at who and why are they angry? But then we're going to end with why we as Christians sing. So start with anger. We're going to end with singing. That sounds like a good way to go, right? So anger. When people are angry at you, which we all, maybe somebody's angry at you right now. I don't know. But how does it feel when somebody's angry at you? It's really hard to take that. We don't like when people are angry at us. And we all say, we have this saying, you can't please everybody. Well, we all know that's true. And we even tell other people that, but we don't really believe it. We really think we can please everybody. And so that's what we try to do. It's part of our sinful nature. We're selfish. We want everybody to like us. So when somebody doesn't, when they're angry with us, it can be pretty bothersome. Well, what about when it's God who's angry at you? Now, we're not used to talking about that very much, but it's true. Sin, and our sin in particular, makes God angry. Why don't we talk about that much? I'm not sure. We kind of shy away with it from it. We say, no, don't tell people God is angry with them. Don't tell them that. But it's true. Our sin makes God angry. Jesus said in the gospel reading today that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he says the Holy Spirit will do is convict the world concerning sin. That you and I have sinned and that God is angry about it. We don't do ourselves any favor by pretending that God doesn't care. If we understand that he is really angry over our sin, then we will see how badly we need Jesus. So don't do yourself any disservice by acting like God doesn't care about your sin. He does. In fact, he's angry about it. When I lie, God is angry. Lies are from the devil. Does God want me to lie? Jesus says the devil is the father of all lies. God is the God of the truth. So when I lie about where I was, when I hide something from my wife or my husband, when I hide something from my parents, when I stretch the truth to make my story sound more interesting, let's make God angry. He doesn't like lying. Or when I look at other people and I immediately judge them, this really makes God angry. These are people that he created, people that he loves, people that Jesus died for, and I am going to immediately make judgments about how, oh, they're not nice, or they're such a horrible person, or they're not normal, or they're full of themselves. That makes God angry. When I skip church on Sunday morning, when I don't say my prayers, when I go a whole day without praying to God, again, you might think, well, I don't think we should be talking that way. But it's true. God is angry when we skip church. God doesn't like us ignoring his word. I mean, if you're a parent, you know this. How do you feel if your kids just ignore what you said? Kind of makes you angry. God is angry when we ignore his word and act as other things are more important. When we don't trust God, when we constantly are complaining and worrying about everything. I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough friends. I'm worried about our country, worried about the church. It makes God angry because we're not trusting him. We're doubting him. Now, if I can tell you all of these sins make God angry, well, then we say, why aren't we just all dead? I mean, if God is that angry about these sins, How are we even alive? Well, this is what Jesus is all about. In God's greatest act of mercy, God took all the anger and the wrath that He has for our sins, all the times I've sinned and God is angry about it, He took all of that and put it all on His own Son. And that's why, as Christians, we're used to hearing that God is not angry with us. Well, the reason He's not angry is not because we're so great and we don't really sin all that much after all. The reason He's not angry is because He's taken all of that wrath and put it on His Son. So Jesus says the next thing the Holy Spirit will do, He will convict the world concerning righteousness. So first He's going to convict you and show you God is angry with your sin. But the second thing He's going to do is convict you and show you that God has made it all right in His Son, Jesus Christ. He's made it right. And this is what the Holy Spirit does for us then. He turns us away from our sins and turns us to Jesus on the cross, who suffers all the wrath of God for us, so that then I can say, God isn't angry with me. He's not angry with me. Even though this morning I have done 100, maybe 1,000 things already that make Him angry, He's not angry with me. He is not angry with you. He's not angry with you because Jesus has taken all His anger. This is where baptism and the Lord's Supper are so comforting, because in baptism we have God, who is angry over our sin, instead making us His child and saying He loves us and saying that Jesus has taken all our sin away. In the Lord's Supper, here He said, here's Christ's body and blood, which took all of my wrath and my anger for you. Here it is, depart in peace. These are wonderful things. Now here, as I said, here comes the singing now. In the Old Testament reading, which we know very well because we sing it in this service of prayer and preaching, in the Old Testament reading it says, I will give thanks to you, for though you were angry, I know, Lord, that you are angry with me for my sins, but though you were angry, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. And because of that, I will give thanks and I will sing. And the key words in there, we sing it all the time, the Lord is my song. The Lord is my song. This is why I sing, because of the Lord. The name of this Sunday is Cantate, which is Latin for sing. It comes from Psalm 98, sing unto the Lord a new song. Right? So this is all about singing. And this is where it's just so sad. It really is sad. Most of the music that we know in our culture is so empty. It really is just so empty. You have to understand that music is first of all a gift that God gave to the church. Music belongs to the church. Because what does all music do if it's done right? It gives praise to God. And so it's sad, all the music that we have come to know so well. I mean, just turn on the radio. What are the themes of the music? Sex, money, fame, all these things. It's empty. Real music gives praise to God. Real music comforts us and reminds us that we have a good and gracious God who loved us and turned His anger away from us. Now go back to anger for a minute. Does this mean that God has no more anger at all? Well, Jesus says one more thing. He says the Holy Spirit will also convict the world concerning judgment. There is still anger. Why? Because people have rejected His own Son, Jesus Christ. And for that, the Holy Spirit will convict of judgment, that there will be a judgment. And this is why we still have to deal with anger. If it were a perfect world and everybody knew they were forgiven in Christ, there would be no anger. But instead, we have a world that's full of anger, and we have to face it a lot. Okay, not only in ourselves, but in other people. And there's a lot of anger out there. James in our epistle today is so helpful. He says to us Christians to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So if you're following with me, God is angry over sin, but His anger has turned away. But there is still anger that you and I must deal with. And how do we deal with that anger? We deal with it the same way God has dealt with His anger. We turn away from it. And this is where, as James says, we as Christians should be slow to anger. Realize that your anger is not going to accomplish anything good. It's not going to fix anything. And in fact, it's sinful. So Isaiah would tell us, Jesus would tell us, instead of getting angry, we can sing, right? We sing when we're angry. Now, if that sounds weird, think of like Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, they were in prison. You think they were happy about that? No, they were angry about it. But what did they do? They sang hymns. And all the other prisoners were hearing them praise God. Music is a gift. It calms us. It cheers us up. It chases away the devil. And we probably don't use it enough, the truth is. At this pastor's conference, one of the speakers said he thought it's sad that we don't have more hymns memorized. And I've been thinking about that a lot since he said it. That's really true. How many hymns could you sing from memory? I think we probably need a few more. Because what are we going to do if we get in situations where we don't have a hymnal? Okay, we need to be able to sing. We need to have these words of God in our hearts. And of course, one of the great things about a service like prayer and preaching, here we already have Isaiah 12. Most of you probably could sing it. The Lord is my strength and my song has become my salvation. With joy will I draw water from the wells of salvation. We'll say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Right? These are the things we need to have in our minds and in our hearts. You know, if you were stuck in prison, what could you sing? A pop song or a country western song? Or could you sing a hymn like Mighty Fortress is Our God or The Church is One Foundation? These hymns are our comfort. The Lord is our song. His anger is turned away from us. He loves us. He forgives us. And because of his great mercy, we too, as James says, are slow to anger. We're quick to sing. In Jesus' name, amen. And peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.